It's time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, sparking global changes in and around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, mass deportation, denaturalization, and changes in U.S. birthright citizenship. It is said that if former President Donald Trump is re-elected, these are three proposals that Team Donald Trump has planned for the United States. In a recent tweet, Stephen Miller, yes, sent out a tweet, said they are going to be ramping up on denaturalizing U.S. citizens. And then Senator Lindsey Graham recently spoke about, yes, he wants changes in U.S. birthright citizenship. Joining me this morning is noted attorney, yes, attorney at law, Mr. Wayne Golden Sr., OD. He has now joined the conversation. How dangerous could this be if Donald Trump gets his way? How dangerous could this be if Project 2025 is fully implemented in these United States? Good morning, counsel. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I am blessed this morning, counsel. As I like to tell all my guests, I am doing the best with this brand new 24 hours that the good Lord has given me. So I am doing fine. I'm doing fine.
Great, great. That's good news.
Indeed. As I welcome you this morning, counsel. Ladies and gentlemen, my special guest this morning is noted attorney at law, Mr. Wayne Golden Sr., Order of Distinction. You know, Wayne, as I welcome you to Grooving Radio, when you hear about mass deportation, as an attorney who deals with immigration, when you hear these terms, first, what comes to mind?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is family separation.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things about American immigration law, it has evolved over the years where their goals certainly have changed, you know, from the time when they wanted people who just could come and work physically to help build a country to when they wanted the brightest and the best from across the world. And the theme of immigration law has always been reunification of families.
Mm-hmm.
Deportation is quite the opposite. It's actually the deunification of families. And as an attorney who works in the trenches every day and deals with deportation issues, for whatever reason a person is being deported, it's a heart-wrenching situation, and it tends to destroy families.
You know, attorney, the last Trump administration, one of the things we generally would hear about when it comes to immigration is separation of family and separating young children from their family. And it's a very dangerous thing to do. But to hear the former president and his inner circle talk about if he gets back to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, he would immediately... He said on day one, he would start mass deportation. Should these folks be worried about what the former president is saying?
Well, absolutely. You mark a person by their words and their deeds. And it's not like we've not been there before. We were on the cusp in his prior administration of seeing some draconian immigration laws go into place, including preventing certain people from migrating into the country legally by setting some standards that they know they couldn't meet, from educational standard to standard of how much money you have. And so we know that it's a reality that we're talking about. Yes, the process is going to be, not a snap-your-finger process for the things he claims he wants to do, because obviously we still have a legal system in place that's going to challenge it.
Mm-hmm.
But the immediate effect and the intention is absolutely clear that they are going to try to implement these things as quickly and as draconianly as possible. And people are going to be affected. And that's why people have to pay attention. You must pay attention. just the idea of saying that somebody born in the United States is not entitled to citizenship because their parents were not here legally really flies into the face of the Constitution of the United States and federal law.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that, as you said, Senator Lindsey Graham has put forward a bill to try and get that into law.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it will pass, but we can never say never, because the intention is absolutely clear what their goal is. And immigrants, of course, are the lowest hanging fruit on the political battlefield. And they've always been the one that have been subject to these types of, you know, punishment, I call it.
You know, counsel, some would say that there is a political connection to all of this conversation in terms of mass deportation, in terms of denaturalizing U.S. citizens, in terms of birthright citizenship. Some would argue that the GOP, the Republican Party, is very nervous of the direction that the country have taken, and they're worried that immigrants tends to lean more over to the Democratic side of politics here, and they're thinking that if Mr. Trump and his cronies get their way to denaturalize people and send them back and, you know, have mass deportation, the Republicans might be sitting in a better position for future election. Are you buying that argument?
That's just a small part of the equation, you know, in terms of electability and electors. The biggest part of the equation is you have to go to the root. And the root is really a dislike for immigrants. It's always been that immigrants are blamed for the failures that are happening within the country. And there are those people, it's like red meat to them. But the truth of the matter is immigrants are the backbone of the country. They've built this country from day one until now and will continue to build it. And all the efforts over the years that have been pushed towards different immigrants, whether they were Irish, whether they were Chinese, whether they were Japanese, have eventually failed because the country represents a melting pot. And I think the weakness to that trend of thought is that they're not looking at outreaching and providing a philosophy or a platform that immigrants can relate to or descendants of immigrants. But you must remember, too, that these very people who are pushing this idea that we need to get rid of the immigrants are probably first and second generation descendants of immigrants themselves. So it's almost like a self-hate type of approach.
Right.
And what I would encourage our folks to do is not to get caught up with these folks with false promises, because we have, especially in the last election, where Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Trump were the candidates, there were a lot of people from other countries that Mr. Trump has since termed S-hole countries that supported him and continue to support him. And even after this last go-round where he's accusing the Asian folks of, you know, certain things, eating pets and all of these things, there are still those who support him. So you have to know what's in your self-interest as an immigrant. And most importantly, you should strive to become a citizen because you see how important your vote is. Your power is in your vote. And once, you know, they're realizing that more and more. And to see who's at the forefront now, children of immigrants are at the forefront of political leadership and power in this country. So it's going to be a longer road, so to speak, but we have to get our thoughts together, pay attention, and cut them off at the pass, because you can't have these people representing us.
Indeed, indeed. And you know, Wayne, I'm happy that you went there in terms of folks who support this individual, and you know, their dislike for immigrants is kind of ludicrous to me. And I say it is kind of ludicrous to me because Donald Trump, a couple of his wives are immigrants. Is running
well,
mate?
All but one.
That's why I said a couple of his wives are immigrants. His running mate, J.D. Vance, is actually married to an Indian woman, a child of an immigrant. And I'm wondering, when they speak the way they speak about immigrants, do they wonder if, I do wonder if they understand that they're talking about their own family members or people within their family who they married to. How hypocritical is this, counsel?
Well, as we know, it's do as I say, but don't do as I do. If you remember a few years ago when, you know, the whole idea is who's working in your house? And some of the most vociferous persons against immigrants had people who without documents working for them in their house.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the same is true until today. But if you look at life, where mm-hmm. life begins with babies, these same people are having immigrants and people without documentation take care of their babies.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get old,
mm-hmm.
they do have these people taking care of them in the nursing homes mm-hmm. and, you know, doing what their own won't do for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you said, it's highly hypocritical,
mm-hmm.
but we have to keep pushing through because history speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why it's important for us to really instill this in our children
mm-hmm.
Who might be first-generation Americans,
mm-hmm.
Instill in them the pride of where they're coming from and where they can get to.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we can point specifically to the child of an immigrant, first-generation American,
right,
who is running for the presidency of this country.
Indeed.
And who would have thought, we thought President Obama was historic.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting on the cusp of history again.
Yes, indeed.
And we're going to ask people not to be fooled by the rhetoric,
mm-hmm.
but be encouraged by the promise of America, the promise that was made,
mm-hmm.
you know, that all men are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to hold that onto that and don't get caught up, because the real central idea is to go out and vote at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking with attorney at law, noted attorney at law, Mr. Wayne Golden Sr., OD, yes, he was anointed, yes, with the Order of Distinction by his country of Jamaica. Wayne, you were born in Kingston, Jamaica. You attended school on North Street, a Fortis man. Huh? You migrated to these United States around the early 1980s. As an immigrant coming in, you look back at the 80s council and you fast forward today. How much has immigration, you think immigration has changed over the years?
Hmm? Well, in terms of the laws have evolved,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily in terms of in the halls of Congress or the desk of the president,
mm-hmm.
but it has evolved in the courthouse, in the courtroom, that
mm-hmm.
people really don't see
mm-hmm.
until they get into those situations and they're realizing the fight
mm-hmm.
that immigrants have put down that have changed certain policies and case law in this country.
Mm-hmm.
They have fought for certain rights.
Mm-hmm.
They've fought, and so many things have changed. So we are seeing a positive influence in terms of fighting in the courthouse and as the battlefield. We are getting more and more attorneys who have immigrant backgrounds
mm-hmm.
who are practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So the practice of immigration is near and dear to their hearts. They can relate to it. They have friends, they have family members who have been through the system.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing those changes. However, you know, we saw a drastic change in terms of policies when Mr. Trump was in office.
Mm-hmm.
And you could actually, as I said, feel the vibe once you stepped into those courthouses because the judges were not given as much latitude as they used to have.
Mm-hmm.
The decision-making from the government attorneys was very restricted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so you saw that happening. And then when the government changed again, you saw a relaxing, a going back to the practical side of immigration.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who are coming into the country,
mm-hmm.
Brand new, you know, we tell them, look, your best bet is to make sure you walk the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to see you in immigration court.
Mm-hmm.
And the slightest thing, you know, when you come in, especially as a green card holder, you're here on borrowed time, so mm-hmm. to speak, until you become a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to know how to stay within those guidelines, because some simple things can get you into immigration problems.
Indeed, indeed. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Groovin' Radio. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. The conversation this Saturday morning, mass deportation, denaturalization of U.S. citizens, and also changes in U.S. birthright citizenship. These are three immigration proposals that Team Donald Trump has planned if re-elected in November. It could be very, very dangerous. If you look at Donald Trump's first term, first 4 years in Washington, and the kind of judges that he put in place, whether it's on the federal level, whether it was on the Supreme level, across the board, the kind of conservative judges that Donald Trump put in place, it sets him up now. It sets him up now to do a lot of the things that he's promising that he's going to do. My special guest this morning is noted attorney, Mr. Wayne Golden, Senior Order of Distinction. You know, Wayne, we looked at mass deportation, and right before I went into that little statement there, you mentioned green card holders, and there was a time. There was a time when green card was considered a permanent thing. It never expired. But today, you have green cards that expired. How many different green cards do they have today, attorney?
Well, the typical green card runs for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have one that they initially get for 2 years if they got their permanent residence through marriage to mm-hmm. a U.S. citizen, mm-hmm. and they applied for that green card before 2 years of being in that marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they get that 2 year green card, they're going to have to apply to remove the conditions, you know, continue to show that marriage was a viable marriage and all of that. But the average green card runs 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for this is not that your status expires after 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Your green card expires after 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is that they want to recheck you in the system.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make sure that within that 10 years, you know, you don't have anything that disqualifies you from being in the United States and all the, you know, in other words, things that make you deportable. So when you reapply to renew the green card, you have to go through fingerprint checks and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't lose your green card until it's either rescinded or a judge takes it away.
Mm-hmm.
But what that can do is open up the can of worms for them to put you in deportation if they recognize that you have something in your background that makes you deportable within that 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
However, you will still get the green card when you apply to renew it. But it's just that you might now be in peril because you've now exposed yourself according to what your record is,
mm-hmm.
and it might put you in problem. So it's a way of just going back and rechecking you. And that's why we tell people, you know, you're eligible to become citizens normally after 5 years of having a green card.
Mm-hmm.
If you got it through marriage to a U.S. citizen, it's after 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you apply for your United States citizenship. And, of course, make sure you're qualified, too, before you run and do that. Because, as I said, people have things in their background that would disqualify them from becoming citizens also,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
including simple things like not paying your child support, not paying your taxes, not paying alimony.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
So, you know, before you run and do it, I mean, immigration is one of those areas where we have a lot of people who are non-lawyers who are dabbling and telling people to fill this form out and fill that form out without
mm-hmm.
knowing what the legal consequences of each question on that document is. You know, you have to be careful either side.
Right, right. So let me ask a question. And I would like to know, just for the listening audience sake and for my sake, for knowledge sake, someone who came here, let's say 30 years ago, before green cards had expiration date of 10 years, someone who came here 30 years ago and is a permanent resident, do they ever end up in that 10-year green card situation?
Yes, because all green cards expire, whether it has an expiration date or not.
Mm-hmm.
The rule is out there that you must renew your green card, even
wow.
if it does not have an expiration date.
Mm.
If you travel with it and you're coming back into the country with it, the immigration officer will say to you, you need to go and change this green card.
Mm-hmm.
And so those people who actually even have a card that's green, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the origin
yes.
of the name.
Yes.
The original green card was actually green.
Mm-hmm.
No expiration date. That green card is really expired
mm-hmm.
because of the changes in the law
mm-hmm.
that requires you to go and renew that green card to get one of the new types
mm-hmm.
of green card. The one that's blue, which came about in the 80s, also didn't have an expiration date.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go and renew it. And the photograph that you would have had on those green cards are would not represent what you look like these days.
Indeed.
So, you know, it's something that people have to understand. Not because it doesn't have an expiration date and you had it 30 years ago
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that it's still valid for use.
Indeed.
Yes, it's valid, but they will require you to change it. The other thing that people have to understand, too, is that your green card, your status doesn't expire, as I said. The card expires, but you still have your status. But what's happening is that because of all the updates,
mm-hmm.
certain benefits that you would be going for, whether it's Social Security, whether it's employment, whatever, these people are going to want to see the updated green card.
Indeed.
You know?
Indeed.
Another thing that people should understand, too, once you become a U.S. citizen
mm-hmm.
from a green card holder, you should get in touch with the Social Security Administration
yes.
for them to change your status in the system.
Indeed.
So that it will show that you are now a United States citizen instead of a permanent resident.
Indeed. Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to a Jewish doctor of law, Mr. Wayne Golden, Senior Order of Distinction. You know, Wayne, we talk about mass deportation, and one of the easiest set of people here to be deported, as they say, those who don't have the proper documentation. But when you compare a green card holder to a U.S. citizen, it's probably more easier to deport a green card holder than a naturalized U.S. citizen. And it leads me over to this part of the conversation now, denaturalizing U.S. citizens. Now, there are cases that we have heard about. Yeah, there are cases that we have heard about people being stripped of their citizenship. Yeah, but those people probably did something that was detrimental to the United States. Under the last Trump administration, they set up a team to start looking into people and starting to denaturalizing people on a low scale. They say if Donald Trump is reelected, they're going to ramp that up. What are some of the things you think, counsel, that can lead you to be denaturalized?
Hmm? Okay, the first thing people should understand is that as a naturalized citizen, until that citizenship is revoked or taken away, you cannot be deported.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to first go through that process.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Why people get denaturalized most of the time is because during the process of getting the citizenship, meaning from the time you entered this country and came into contact with the U.S. immigration system, until the time you get your citizenship, there was some fraud in between.
Mm-hmm.
So if the fraud started from day one and you built and continued up on that fraud all the way to getting your citizenship, and they find out
mm-hmm.
your citizenship can be revoked.
Mm-hmm.
For example, and it's simple. Say somebody went to the embassy in Kingston to get a visitor's visa to come to this country.
Mm-hmm.
And they came into the country based on that visit visa, based on the questions they answered, that they're coming here to just visit, but their intention was to come here to live and not to visit. So they would have made a fraudulent statement on that application for that visa. And every time you go for an immigration benefits, of course, they go back to your history and your file and all of that stuff. If they discovered some fraud along the way, all the way to your citizenship, not just applying for your citizenship, but on the journey to your citizenship, that can be grounds for them to go back, look at your whole history and try and revoke your citizenship based on a fraud. It's just like those people who were Nazis back in the days and lied on their immigration form, got permanent residency here in the United States, then they got their citizenship. And they found out, and years later, they deported them. They stripped them of their citizenship. So it's not just, you know, somebody just saying, I'm going to deport, strip you of your citizenship. It's a process that has to be gone through. They can identify people who may have committed fraud in getting their citizenship and then try and do that. So, you know, it can be many things. And that's why, you know, legal representation is very important when you are going through your process, because any indicia of fraud can, you know, can be a very difficult thing to overcome down the road. Also, you know, we must remind people, if you're not a U.S. citizen, you cannot vote in this country.
Yes.
And even when you're a U.S. citizen, there are some states that restrict you from voting, depending if you have a criminal record and all of that stuff.
Right.
So be very careful with that when it comes on to immigration, because some people are just not educated. They'll get their permanent resident card. They'll get a voter registration card given to them by the Department of Motor Vehicles, driver's license. They register, and they don't know, honestly. You know, we would think everybody would know this. And then when time comes to get further immigration benefits, they find out that is like a death nail. That is a big can of worm that is open and cannot be closed most of the time, and it will deny you benefits. You know, it will deny you benefits of citizenship. It can even have a situation where your green card is revoked. So there are so many do's and don'ts for our immigrant population, much less for those people who are looking for other things other than illegal stuff, to just because they don't like your face, they want to get you out of the country. So imagine if you're in a position where you have actually committed an offense, knowing or unknowing. You're definitely in a situation where you're going to have to fight for your life, so to speak.
Indeed. You know, counsel, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here and go back to something you said. So now I'm a Jamaican, born in Jamaica. I'm 21 years old. I go to the U.S. Embassy in Jamaica and I apply for a visitor's visa. Yeah. I may have intention to come here and live, but at that moment, I just wanted to get to the United States. How do you think they could siphon through my paperwork from back then and realize that I intended not to go back home? What would raise that red flag?
Well, you know, I don't know what their methodology is, but I can tell you that I've seen many cases where they've discovered the fraud. Either somebody down the road, they make another statement on another document, which conflicts with the previous document. Or, you know, somebody drops a dime, you know. We've seen it so many times. So the methodology is there for them to discover. And then the burden is on you now to disprove whatever they're accusing you of. However, how to prevent that? Don't lie in the first place.
Indeed. You know?
Don't put yourself in that position, because once that bell is rung, you can't unring.
Indeed. It will follow you all the days of your life. You also mentioned the Nazis, and I remember a couple of years ago, there was a gentleman living here in New York, and I think to be exact, it was Jackson Heights, Queens. and they found out that he actually worked as a concentration camp guard. And he was in his 90s, and he was living in this country for many years. And they actually stripped him of his U.S. citizenship, and they deported him. And they deported him. So that was when I started paying attention. I started paying attention to how someone can be denaturalized. But just looking at how conservative the courts are here in these United States today, based on former President Donald Trump's appointments of judges across the board, it can make you be very, very nervous. So folks, pay attention, be very careful. You just heard the council said that there are states here, if you are U.S. citizen, if you are a U.S. citizen, either you were born here or you were naturalized, if you have certain criminal record, they don't allow you to vote. But that is very interesting, no, Mr. Golin. That's very interesting, because the individual who's talking about the individual who's talking about mass deportation and denaturalizing people and changes in U.S. birthright citizenship, he has been convicted on 34 felons. You know, so here's he, a convicted man, running for president of the United States. But it shows you also there must be some change in the Constitution, because if I'm convicted, if I'm a convicted felon, not once, not twice, but 34 times over, there's certain jobs in this country I need not to apply to. But he's applying. He has applied for the top job in the world, to be the leader of the free world. That is what he wants to be as a convicted felon. Isn't that interesting, counsel?
It is, and it's a dichotomy of the law, because, for one, the founding fathers never fathomed a situation like this. So they never made any preparation for this in the Constitution of the United States of America. They never envisioned something like this. And then when you're talking about natural law, moral law that people will really think, you're thinking, well, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if it was a regular person,
mm-hmm.
And regardless of race, color, or creed,
mm-hmm.
They would not be allowed to get a job. Mm-hmm. There are still people who are paying for these things 20, 30 years later after they've paid their debt to society. There are people who can't get education loans. There are people who can't move into certain buildings,
mm-hmm.
apartments, complexes, mm-hmm. because they have a felony record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, there are people being deported from the United States because of these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as I said, it's a situation where you almost feel like you're on the other side every time. You don't get the break. Other people get the break, depending on who they are, money,
mm-hmm.
Status in life. But I think it's one thing that we've seen in this country. And as we say in the Caribbean, time is longer than rope.
Indeed.
We've seen where if it doesn't get the person in terms of legal consequences, eventually it gets them on the moral side.
Mm-hmm.
So we are watching, and we are spectators to this part, this history that's
mm-hmm.
happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's the trademark of hypocrisy, I call it.
Indeed.
And you have to learn yourself how to walk between the raindrops, so to speak, and know that what one person doesn't get away with it,
mm-hmm.
You can't do. And never put yourself into that position. And never think that I can be just like that person, so I would want that same opportunity.
Well,
you know, there are some people who think, well, if I was in that situation, I would want that kind of break. But don't put yourself in that truth.
Indeed. Well said, counsel. Well said. Well, we have covered mass deportation. We have covered denaturalization. And let's shift now to the third proposal that they have on the table, changes in U.S. birthright citizenship. Now, and let me be clear. If you look at immigration across the world, it's changing. If you look at what they're doing and what they have done in places like Australia and places like England and others. You see, they have implemented new changes in terms of who becomes a citizen in that country. When you're born in that country, there have been talk for a very long time that says if someone comes here on a visitor's visa and have a child, that child, they don't want that child to be a citizen. But the child was born here, but they don't want that child to be a citizen. Way back when, anyone who was born in this country, as long as you were born here, you were an American citizen. Now, they want to change that. But there's also some hypocrisy in all of this. Because, for instance, look at a person like John McCain, who ran for president. And I love Maverick. He was born in Panama. But because his parents, I think it was his parents were on a U.S. base in Panama, John McCain was a citizen. Huh? He wasn't born in America. So, but they're telling you that if you come here from Jamaica, yeah, and you are on a visitor's visa, they would like to change the fact that if you have a baby here, that baby in the future might not be a citizen. In places like England, I think one of the parents has to be a born British subject or something like that. But changes are happening around the world. Do you think we're going to see this here in the United States Council, the way things are moving these days?
Well, you know, United States citizenship can be acquired by birthright in two situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by virtue of the person's birth within the United States territory mm-hmm. or its territory.
Mm-hmm.
Or because at least one of their parents was a U.S. citizen at the time of the person's birth. You know, they call it birth abroad, stuff like that. You know, birthright citizenship contrasts with citizenship acquired in other ways, like, for example, naturalization. But birthright is guaranteed to most people born in the U.S. or its territories by the first part of the Citizenship Clause, you know, in the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution. And this was adopted July 9th, 1868. And mm-hmm. it states,
mm-hmm.
all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the states wherein they reside. And of course, that amendment overrode a famous case called Dred Scott versus Sanford
mm-hmm.
from 1857. That denied U.S. citizenship to African Americans, whether born in the United States or not,
mm-hmm.
or whether a slave or a free person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a significant decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so for these folks now who are trying to monkey around with the thing, as we call it,
mm-hmm.
They are trying to impact the Constitution by legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So for the representation that we have right now,
mm-hmm.
and as you know how the political process works here,
mm-hmm.
They're differentiating by saying, look, we're just sort of limited this proposal to children born to people without legal status in the United States or illegal immigrants. That's where they're trying to narrow it.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally think that it's going to be a fight. If it comes on board, it's going to be a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But what you worry about is this United States Supreme Court that we have in place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what we're hoping is for it not to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where representation again comes in,
mm-hmm.
where you have to understand how your representation can impact not only you, but your family.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. we need not to have people in Congress, the Senate, who are trumpeting these, and I hate to use that word, you know, these kinds of laws.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take it seriously. You must take it seriously. No matter what the maneuvering
mm-hmm.
that can be done after the fact, you don't want it to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So the mere fact that somebody's brave enough to put this out there
mm-hmm.
as a bill to become law, to be signed into law
mm-hmm.
by whichever president we have sitting in the Oval Office, we have to make sure it dies a natural death before it gets even there.
Indeed.
And that's why people have to reach out to their representatives, make those phone calls, write those letters,
mm-hmm.
flood their lives to tell them, you know, how much you are disturbed mm-hmm. by these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And as usual, they know the constituency. The vote is what controls what they should do. So I'm not telling folks that this can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there'll be a lot of legal fight over it if it does.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not make it get to that state.
And you know, it's very serious, ladies and gentlemen. It's very, very serious. Yeah. And as you listen to Attorney at Law, Mr. Wayne Golden Sr., OD, and you listen to what he's saying, yes, for the last 20 years, yeah, is litigation law firm, the Golden Law Group, PLC, has done a lot of legal work, folks. So he understand what he's talking about. A Jewish doctor of law, he is. Yeah, he also has a background in economics, so he also knows the economic side of it. But let's be clear here, ladies and gentlemen, that these situations, as much as some of it is just talk right now, They're serious situation, counsel, because these guys are not playing. And when you hear Vice President Kamala Harris talk about or question Trump and his cronies about Project 2025, which he's trying to distance himself from, some of these things fall in that whole Project 2025 thing that they have put together. Because when have you heard someone who was a president or someone who wants to be a president come out publicly and says, I would like to be a dictator for a day? Have we ever heard those things uttered from people, any persons who wanted to get to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue Council? Have you ever heard it before?
Well, I will tell you this. You know, I've been in this country since 1981,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I said to somebody yesterday, I think our lifetime is about to expire, because mm-hmm. when you learn so many things that you want to start life all over again and implement them,
mm-hmm.
if somebody had told me this in 1981 when we first came to America to live as permanent residents,
mm-hmm.
that you would have somebody saying these things and running for president of this country and enjoying 47% of support in this country. People like Ronald Reagan would turn in his grave. People like one of the most decent presidents we've had, Jimmy Carter. You'd want to hear what they would have to say. But it's the reality of the day. It is the reality of the day, and we have to deal with it. We can't look back and say, I remember when America was this and was that. We have to deal with what it is now. And the clear picture to me is that it's always been there, but it's now exposed. And these people are empowered, and they are in power. Mark you still have some guardrails. You still have some guardrails that can save us from going over the precipice, so to speak. For example, you saw that woman who got sentenced to 9 years for interfering in the elections, okay? And the judge really put it on her
mm-hmm.
and told her exactly what he thought of her and her actions. But those seem to be far and few between,
because
mm-hmm. you had people who rioted January 6th, obviously, were brought before the courts. And it seems like people are not taking that as seriously as it was the signal that sent. And although some of them are being found guilty and being sent to prison, it still does not have the chilling effect, because you still have people with that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I encourage, you know, all our folks, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful who you converse with.
Indeed.
Be careful what you say.
Indeed.
Be careful of how you express yourself other than voting,
mm-hmm.
because we don't know what the mentality of these people are and where they're going to take things
mm-hmm.
to. Because we have to be on our P's and Q's if the results of this election is against Mr. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
you have to be on your P's and Q's about what is going to happen in the future and how to prepare yourself for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, you know, we can't look back and say what America was. We got to say what America is
and
we
got to deal with it. Yeah. You know, you mentioned Jimmy Carter, the longest living American president, celebrated his 100th birthday this past week. You know, what a decent individual, you know, Jimmy Carter is. I can't say was because he's still here with us. What a decent individual, an individual like Jimmy Carter is. You mentioned Ronald Reagan. Yes, as much as his trickle-down economics did not work, he was a decent man too. And the Republican Party that we see today is not the Republican Party of yesterday. And just be mindful, folks. Just be very mindful. Election have consequences. All election have consequences. And that is why it is very important. It is very important that if you have a franchise to vote, exercise that franchise. Use that franchise wisely. And I think also, you know, it's not a bad thing for them to have expiration date and green cards, because if you're living in this country for 40 years, I think the least you could have done was become a U.S. citizen to be a part of the conversation. Because if you cannot vote, you know, you shouldn't be a part of the conversation, you know.
Well, you know, that is so true. But another thing people have to understand, you know, green card is like you have gotten a rented house versus purchasing the house.
Mm-hmm.
Where the landlord can come and tell you in that rented house you need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the consequences are so dire for people who lose that permanent residency, sometimes through no fault of their own. So mm-hmm. things happen to people sometimes. Simple things happen to people. You know, for example, somebody can be deported for violating, say, an injunction order in a domestic violence case.
Mm-hmm.
You get deported. You've been here for 30, 40 years. You have Social Security, you have military benefits, all of that stuff. You won't be able to access it.
Oh.
You know, you lose access to it until you are returned to legal status here in the United States. You will not be able to access that. So we have a lot of people who are deported. They can't get their Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were in the military and never got their citizenship,
mm-hmm.
remained with a green card. And they got deported for whatever reason. They can't access their military benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So the consequences are so dire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've done programs in the past where we've tried to speak to people who were deported from this country,
mm-hmm.
traveled to Guyana, Jamaica, met with hundreds of people to see if we can help them to return to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear these horror stories of people living on the streets,
mm-hmm.
suffering from mental illness,
right.
living in one-room places, getting disadvantaged,
right?
You know, so you know, for people to sit and say, well, I don't want no U.S. citizenship, I don't want to lose my citizenship from my original country, that in itself either is a misnomer. For example, mm-hmm. Jamaica and Trinidad, you can have dual citizenship and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
But the reasons they give you sometimes is just so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to shock them into reality sometimes.
Yeah.
But as you say, people will sit and they will talk and you will think they're U.S. citizens and they're not.
Indeed.
They're not impacting the conversation in a
Indeed.
Positive way. Yes, you can
yeah.
freedom of speech, you can
right.
talk or whatever, but your duty is, based upon the sacrifices of those who have gone before you,
mm-hmm.
is to make sure you get that franchise and you exercise that franchise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you look at how many people have laid the ultimate, their life, have given their life for us to have some kind of freedom in this country. So folks, please pay attention. We are living in some serious times. Attorney at law, Mr. Wayne Golden, Sr., Order of Distinction, a man who I understand that still has a very close relationship to his Fortis brothers there on North Street. And you know, I must say thank you, sir. Thank you for your contribution, not only to community, not only to the state of Florida, not only to your legal folks that you give legal advice to, but to country of Jamaica. And I close out this morning by saying and asking you this question. When you got the call, sir, that Jamaica, your birthright country, the country of your birth, wanted to honor you with the Order of Distinction. Were you sitting down? Were you standing up? And how did that make you feel that Jamaica honored you with the Order of Distinction, sir?
Well, I must tell you, it was one of the greatest days of my life. Mm-hmm. It immediately made me reflect on the sacrifices of my grandparents, mm-hmm. my mom, especially a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just amazing. And mm-hmm. you know, somebody said something to me years later, former United States ambassador,
mm-hmm.
I had the occasion to meet him in Jamaica at one of the diaspora conferences,
mm-hmm.
and he said to me, you know, it is very difficult for people to understand how you can help to build not only one but two countries at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, came to the United States at a young age, just coming out of teenage mm-hmm. years.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to keep that connection to Jamaica, who gave me the base for any success that I can claim in life, whether it's through my education or through the people I was exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And those powerful figures in Jamaica that made you understand that there is a role for you to play in the world, no matter where you are located.
Indeed.
But you must never forget your roots. You mm. must never forget where you're coming from.
Indeed.
So for those younger folks coming into the diaspora especially,
mm-hmm.
please don't throw the proverbial stone behind you.
Indeed.
If it's even one person that you can reach back to out of your community,
indeed.
Out of your church, out of your school, wherever mm-hmm. you're from,
mm-hmm.
please do that, and you will see the benefits in the long run. So we've lived long enough to see that, so I want to thank everyone that has supported us all through the years, and we really appreciate the recognition, and we continue to do what comes naturally.
Indeed. Attorney at law, Mr. Wayne Golden Sr., Order of Distinction. As someone myself who's nationally honored, Wayne, getting that call and seeing that published in the newspaper, I was like, whoa. I never sat out.
I know you have to go, but I'll just give you one short thing.
Yeah.
I remember being young and watching it on TV.
Uh-huh.
On Heroes Day, and I was so bored, but the parents forced you to watch it, you know, to see who was getting an award. And
yes.
I remember walking up on the stage, and I'm wondering which child at home is watching this and thinking, I could be outside playing because it's a holiday.
Wow.
But it just brought me back to that time. And
yes.
I tell you,
yeah.
you know, age and maturity is something else. Thank God we're having that opportunity.
Indeed.
To really count our blessings.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mr. Wayne Golden, Senior, Order of Distinction. And, you know, folks, you were in the classroom, the legal classroom this morning, and you heard three subject matters that the former president, Team Donald Trump, they're proposing mass deportation, denaturalizing folks here, and changes in U.S. birthright citizenship. Pay attention to what's going on. Election have consequences. If you have a franchise to vote, November 5th, we're less than 30 days away, I can say, from the next, we're just about 30 days away from the next presidential election. If you have that franchise to vote, please exercise it and choose wisely. Choose your candidates wisely. Know who you're voting for. And if you ever need the service of a rounded and grounded litigation law firm, it's the Golden Law Group, PLC. Where are you located, Wayne? And can you give a number?
Okay, our office is physically located in Orlando, Florida, but we practice all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And our number is 407-574-8691. And I just tell people, just Google us. You know, mm-hmm. we're easy to find.
Mm-hmm. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was the voice, yeah, and the classroom voice, the teacher voice, attorney-wise, of Mr. Wayne Golden Sr. Thank you so much for joining the conversation this morning, Wayne. Looking forward for having more conversations with you down the road. Thank you so much, sir.
All right. Thank you for having us, and great show. Thank you.
One love. Bye-bye. One love. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end, yes, of our featured segment, a mic check this morning, sparking global changes. Immigration was front and center.